Amen. Thank you very much, Billy. If you take your Bibles with me and open to Romans chapter number 10 this morning. Romans chapter 10. Just so Brother Beal knows, I think I'd be more afraid of Mrs. Cole than Pastor Cole. Yesterday she was talking and she said, if he ever tries to take you away, we're going to have to go up there and shoot the president. So I'd watch out for Mrs. Cole. But I just want to take time, I know everybody does, but just to thank all the professors here. I've learned so much in my time here, and I just think about where I was 4 years ago. And just looking at the people that were up here preaching, I think of Dan Dietrich and people like that, and I thought, man, I will never be able to get up there and preach, and here I am. So we'll see what we can do today. I want to take time to thank my family, for my parents who are watching live stream today. God has blessed me with a great family, and so many times I've taken it for granted. But I just want to praise the Lord for my dad and just his example to me. And I did grow up in a pastor's home, and many times when that happens, pastor's kids don't want to go into the ministry because of how their parents portrayed the ministry. But my dad always portrayed it in a positive light, because serving God is an exciting thing. And God's doing exciting things today, and I'm excited about what he has for us in chapel today. Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you very much just for this opportunity. And I don't take it lightly. As I open your word today, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross. Lord, that it wouldn't be my words that come out today, but your spirit would speak through me, that you'd calm my nerves and just help the spirit to have free reign in here today. Lord, we thank you and praise you for everything you're going to do, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen. I love to fly on airplanes. It's just something I love to do. I always want to get a window seat and look out the window and watch the mountains as we fly past. But my senior year of high school, I was flying out to California, which is a long trip. It was the longest one I had ever taken. It was a six-hour flight, and there was turbulence all the way. It was the first time I had ever been scared on an airplane. The fasten your seatbelt light never went off. It was just a really rough flight, but I thought it was cool. We were flying JetBlue, and you had your own TV in each seat. And it had cable TV in it, so you could pick whatever you wanted to watch. So I thought, man, I don't have to watch whatever movie they have on, because usually they have some movie that you don't want to watch anyways. So I'm going to get my money's worth out of this. So I start flipping through the channels, and the first channel I come to is about an airplane pilot who crashed in the Sahara Desert. Thinking, yeah, no, I don't want to watch that. Oh, let's go see what the History Channel has on it. And it was about different planes that had gone down and crashed and what caused them to crash and how it all happened. And I thought, man, I got to go to the Discovery Channel. They've got to have something on. No, it was about an airplane pilot who let his kids. He had his two kids there, and it was before 9/11, and people could come in the cockpit. And, you know, he was tired, and it was a long flight. It was a transatlantic flight. So he put the plane on autopilot and told his kids they could sit in the captain's and co-pilot chair, and he went back and took a nap. And the plane crashed. I thought, well, there's nothing else to watch, so I'll just watch this. But he was asleep. He went back and took a nap with a plane full of people, and they all perished because he was asleep. And today, Christ is knocking at our door. So many times we've fallen asleep as Christians. You've been here at college maybe for a semester. You've been here at college maybe for 4 years. And you've fallen asleep, and Christ is knocking, going, Christian, Christian, wake up. Are you listening? That day as that pilot was sleeping, his kids were beating on the door going, Dad, wake up, something's the matter. But he didn't wake up. Christ is knocking at your door. Will you listen? Will you wake up? Christian, wake up. Christian, you must wake up and be a light in this dark and dying world. We're going to look at three things today. You need to wake up to the promise of God. Number two, you need to fess up to your problem. Number three, you need to get up and do something about it. Romans 10, we're in chapter 10, verse number 9. The Bible says, but that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good joy. First of all, we need to wake up to the promise of God. God has given us many promises in His Word, but one of the greatest promises we have is a home in heaven. Christ promises that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, you shall be saved. Not you might be saved, not possibly, not if you're perfect the rest of your life, but you shall be saved. And it's that easy. It's nothing we can do. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift. We can't buy it. We can't do anything for it. But it's a free gift God has given to us. And what a great promise that is. But I believe that we've forgotten about it. You've been saved maybe for 10 years now. You grew up in a Christian home, and you've forgotten what God's done for you. It's just become another thing. Oh, I'm saved. That's good, you know. Never forget. We need to be awoken to the fact that Christ has saved us. We deserve to go to hell. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. We deserve nothing. But God has given us everything. We have privileges of sonship. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about how we are the sons of God. God has made us His sons. Just stop and think about that. Your earthly father, he loves you. If you have an earthly father, he loves you. But God loves you so much more. And to me, that's amazing because I know my earthly father loves me. And I know that he would die for me. But Christ loves me even more than that. And it's just, I can't fathom it. I can't understand it, but he does. But it's also good to know that salvation is for everyone. There's some that would say that salvation is only for a couple people. You know, Christ chose certain people, and all the rest, you just have to go to hell. But salvation is for everybody. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse number 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You can look in the Greek. You can look in between the lines in the Greek. You can look in between the lines in any version of the Bible you want. And nowhere does it say, for only the elect shall be saved. No, it says for whosoever. Whosoever means anybody. You want a Greek lesson, look at it. It means all. It means everybody. It means every person on this earth, no matter what color they are, no matter what gender they are, no matter what sin they're in, anybody that calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. They could be on death row. They could have murdered 20 people. It could be Adolf Hitler, who murdered thousands. Mao Zedong, who has murdered millions. And they can be saved. Christ's grace isn't limited. We need to get excited about the things of God. We need to get excited that Christ is still saving people today. I think we've forgotten that Christ still works. We look in the book of Acts and see the great things that the disciples did, how they had saw thousands saved in one day, 5,000, 3,000. And we go, wow, that was great. That's exciting. You know, I wish God could do it today. I wish God... So God's changed? No, my Bible says God is the same yesterday. God is the same today, and God will always be the same. He's never changing. The same God that David served when he killed Goliath is the same God we serve. The same God that shut the lion's mouth, Daniel, in the lion's den, is the same God we serve. We need to remember that. We need to wake up to the promises of God. We've gotten into a monotonous lifestyle. You wake up every morning at 6 a.m. Maybe you read a psalm, a proverb. You go to breakfast. You go to your 7 o'clock class. You come to chapel. You sit there. We sing a song. You stand up. You pray. You sit down. We may sing another song. You have testimonies. We've just gotten in a monotonous lifestyle, and we've gone to sleep. We need to wake up. It's time that we wake up. In Numbers chapter 22, you see the story of Balaam. We're not going to turn there for time's sake. But you think of the story of Balaam, and here's Balaam, and he has gotten out of the will of God. And God's allowed him to go, and that's a scary thing to think. You can go out of the will of God, and God will allow you to go. You need to be praying and seeking His will earnestly. But here's Balaam, he's got on a donkey. Why he took a donkey, I do not know. I would have taken a horse. How many of you have ever ridden a donkey in here? Raise your hand. Wow, there are people that have ridden. I would expect that. But, you know, we don't usually ride donkeys. You ride a horse usually. It's kind of like going out in the morning and saying, oh, I'm going to take the Chevy instead of taking the Ford. Why would you do that? I mean, it just doesn't make good sense. It's going to break down on the way to work. You should have taken the Ford. Now I know a lot of you don't like me, but it doesn't bother me. But here he is on the donkey, and he's going on the road, and all of a sudden, the donkey starts going off into a field. And they're like, what in the world are you doing? He starts beating the donkey. Hey, go back on the path. Go back on the path. Well, the donkey starts going back, and the donkey sees the angel of the Lord again. And Balaam's eyes are closed. Balaam can't see the angel of the Lord. And the donkey, there's a wall. He's in a garden, and there's a wall there. And here goes the donkey smashes his leg up against the wall. Now, that would be pretty painful. And here's Balaam. He doesn't know what's going on. And Balaam goes, oh, stupid donkey. Why didn't I take the horse this morning? I should. And so he starts beating the donkey again. And all of a sudden, he gets the donkey back on the road, and they're going, and it's going good for a while. And the donkey sees the angel of the Lord again and just drops down in the middle of the road. And there's no getting this donkey up. So Balaam starts yelling at the donkey, and the donkey starts talking to him. Now, if that happened to me, I think I would run away and be scared and start crying or something. I don't know. Go check myself into a mental institution. But no, Balaam starts talking back to the donkey. He starts having a conversation with his donkey. Now, I've been tired on my way home from work and talked to my car, but my car has never talked back to me. Never. Once. And he starts talking to his donkey, and then all of a sudden, Balaam's eyes are opened, and he sees the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord said, had you taken one more step, if your donkey had gone one more step, I would have killed you, because you weren't in the will of God. But he was asleep. His eyes were blinded. He couldn't see the danger that was right in front of him, because he wasn't listening to the will of God. And so many of us are asleep here today. God's trying to get your attention. God's smashing your leg up against the wall. God's stopping you in your path, but you're not paying attention to the signs. You're asleep. Wake up, Christian, wake up. It's about time. You're a senior here today. It's about time you wake up and listen to the will of God before it's too late. So number one, we see we need to wake up. Recognize that God has come to this earth to save people. If you're not saved here today, come to know Him today. If you are saved here today, go tell others about it. So we see that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But there's a problem. The problem is portrayed in verse number 14. Verse 13 is talking about whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? There's a problem in our society today. There's a problem in our college today. There's a problem in Christianity as a whole. Where are the preachers? We need men and women, yes, women, to stand up and preach the gospel of Christ. No, women aren't going to be up and preaching from the pulpit, but God commands us all to go out and preach the gospel of Christ. You know, we have to fill out our CSRs every week, and you hear people talk about it. Don't just do it to fill out a CSR, but I think that some people even lie on the CSR. You don't even go out. You don't even try. Or you see, what's the least amount I can do and get by? Shame on you. Shame on you. We need to fess up. There's a problem, a major problem in Christianity. How are people going to get saved? You're here to train, to go into the ministry. You're here to become evangelists. You're here to become missionaries. You're here to become pastors. You're here to become pastors' wives, school teachers. How are they going to hear? How are they going to get saved unless you're preaching the gospel? You go, well, one day when I get out there, I'll start doing it. No, you need to start today. I think it's a shame when there's a senior who can sit in the church and not do anything. You go, well, there's nothing for me to do. I go to one of the college churches. There's tons of people that go there. You can pick up the trash off the floor. You can do something. I think that everybody in the church should be an integral part, and every part is important, whether it's picking up the trash in the parking lot, whether it's filling up the water for the pastor before the service. But we need to be in the ministry of Christ. If you aren't doing it today, you definitely won't be doing it 10 years from now. There's a major problem. We need preachers. We need people to stand up. We need people to go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. We get so busy in college. We have to work. We have to go to class. We have to write papers. We have to take midterms. We have to go to church. We have to do visitation. And we just get so busy. And we forget why we came here. We forget that we're here to go to a lost and dying world, to tell them about Christ. Never forget. Never lose your passion of why you came here. We need to fess up to our problem. How are they going to hear? They're not going to hear unless you go tell them. We need to be going out everywhere we go. When you go to the fast foods, when you go to McDonald's after church on Sunday night to buy a milkshake, or give the person a tract. There's people out there that are searching. Josh stole my illustration, but that's okay. Saturday morning, I wasn't planning on sitting there at Arby's for an hour and a half talking to somebody. But had I not, he might not be thinking about the things of Christ now. He might get saved one day, and what a great and glorious thing that would be. But what if I hadn't been faithful to witness to him? What if Josh and I had had a bad testimony in front of him? He could still be on his way to, he still is on his way to hell, but he might not have the chance to get saved. There's people that you meet every day that are on their way to hell. There are people that you meet that need Christ, but you won't tell them. And what a shame it would be to get to heaven one day and just to see people's faces and think, and them to look at you and go, you went through my drive-thru at McDonald's and you didn't give me a track. I never knew. Last Wednesday, Josh and I had to work, and church people, once church lets out, you can notice all the church people coming in their church clothes, and we probably had 30 people come through. Not a single one of them gave us a track. And Josh came to me and he said, you know what, I want to go out there and go, you know what, you guys, I'm saved and I'm glad I am, because I would still be on my way to hell right now, thanks to you guys. It's just sad. But look at our lives and how many times we pass up opportunities to go tell people about Christ. We need preachers. We need people to stand up. How are they going to hear? They won't, unless we stand up. So we need to wake up to the promises of God. We need to fess up. There's a problem in Christianity today. There's a problem in your life today. You need to get it right. You need to come up here to this altar today and purpose in your heart, I'm going to tell people about Christ. I'm going to be a faithful witness. I'm going to go out and everywhere I go be a witness for Christ. And then you need to get up off your knees and you need to go do something about it. It's not just good enough to come up here and pray and go, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change my life. No. You have to get up. I don't know about you guys. I am not a morning person at all. I hate waking up in the mornings. But if my alarm clock goes off and I hit it off and I lay there in bed, I'm going to go back to sleep. Without a fail, I'm not going to wake up. I can lay there and 5 minutes, if I'm not up, I'm back out and I'll sleep through class. I'll sleep through chapel. We need to get up. If we just come here and pray and we just go and don't change anything, we're going to go back to sleep. We're going to become the sleeping dead Christians again that we were. You need to get up and do something about it. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, I'm going to turn there so I don't misquote it. The Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I think of the message that Brother Johnston preached. I have it written after that verse, and they will hear it. People are searching for Christ, but we have to be faithful to go and tell them. Go and preach. Go and teach. Go and baptize. Look around you. See the need of the world today. You go, well, here in the South, everybody's saved. No. Most of the people aren't saved. It was refreshing for me to be able to talk to a Catholic on Saturday because they actually realize that they aren't good people, that they aren't on their way to heaven, that they have to. Whereas you talk to most Southern people down here today and they go, oh yeah, my daddy was a preacher and my daddy's daddy was a preacher and his mama was a preacher and I'm on my way to heaven. And there's just no convincing them. They're lost. But we need to look around us and see the need. I want you to go with me to Labrador, Canada today. Labrador, Canada. Thousands of people. You go, where's Labrador, Canada? Don't you know that's one of the provinces in Canada? Labrador, Newfoundland. Not one single missionary, not one single Bible-preaching church. All those people are on their way to hell today. Why? Christians haven't gone. We aren't faithful. We aren't willing to go anywhere for Christ. Are you willing to go anywhere, do anything for Christ? And some of us will say that, but when it comes down to it, you're not. You're not willing to go anywhere. You would rather, even though you wouldn't admit this, you would rather people go to hell than to go to Labrador, Canada. Why? Because it's 20 degrees below zero up there. I'm not going there to witness to people. It's too cold. Or Josh is going to Micronesia, and he always tries to convince me I need to go with him. I say it's too hot. But, you know, but if God called me to go to Micronesia, I'd go there in a heartbeat. Why? Because there's people in Chuuk, Micronesia that need to hear about Christ. There's people in Labrador, Canada that need to hear about Christ. There's people in Africa. There's people in Lattimore, North Carolina, that need to hear about Christ. We need to start in our Jerusalem here today, being missionaries. Not something that we're going to start after we graduate, but right here, right now, when you go to church, when you are walking down the road, when you see somebody out in their yard here, go help them. Just be friends with them. Just make relationships and witness to people. Get up and do something about it. This summer, I had the opportunity to go to Brazil. And I told the Duartes, I was with their parents, with Jed, Jenna, and Jennifer's parents. And I looked at the Duartes one day and I said, you know what, everybody needs to come to Brazil for 2 weeks. Every pastor, every evangelist, they just need to come and be with you guys for 2 weeks. And your eyes would be open to a whole different way of life, to the need of the world. Cuiabá, a city of, I forget how many millions of people, and 7 churches. There's a need everywhere you go. When I was in Brazil, though, we were able to see a lady. She started coming to church. Wasn't somebody that we necessarily knocked on her door, but she just started coming. She was looking for a church that was preaching the gospel. And 2 weeks after she started coming, she got saved. And it was an exciting time. She came forward and she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior, and her name was Fatima. And Fatima, we were able to go to her house and do discipleship every week, and it was just exciting for me to see a new Christian excited about the things of God. Her husband wasn't supporting her. Her husband is a drunk. One time he was gone and he was missing for several days. She said, he's probably out sleeping on some corner. I don't know where he is. He might be dead. He might be alive. But she was excited about the things of God. And one day as we were leaving her house, she looked at me. She grabbed me on the arm. It was right before I left. And she said, are you coming back? I said, well, I don't know if I'm coming back. You know, I was just here for 10 weeks for an internship. She goes, no, you don't understand. I have family that lives up in northern Brazil. There's no church there to tell them about Christ. They're on their way to hell. They need somebody to go and tell them. She was almost in tears as she held my arm and said, will you come back? Will you tell my family about Christ? There are people dying and on their way to hell. And we're asleep. We're not paying attention to the people around us. It should break your hearts. When was the last time you looked at somebody and instead of criticizing them for how they dress, instead of criticizing them for how they look, thought, that's a person that's on their way to hell. That's a person that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. I think it's sad the state of Christianity that we're in. I encourage you to wake up, fess up, and get up and do something about it. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And be a light to this dark world. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and just how applicable it is to us today. And I pray that you would just help us to be a light in this dark world, that you'd help us to pay attention to the people around us and not get so caught up in our lifestyle that we'd pass people by that are on their way to hell. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for everything you're going to do. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.